morning once again. All right, well, thank the Lord, and we'll do our harmony of the gospels today. Well, precious Father, we do want to bow before you once and again and give thanks and praise for your holy writ that you've given to us. We pray that you'll help us to better understand your word and comprehend it and be able to apply it to our lives in a very practical and useful way. We just thank you now and ask that you'll bless our time in the word today. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, harmony of the gospels. And as you note in your lesson here, we are dealing with the third day of the Passion Week. We're in the last week of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We looked at day one. We walked with him with day one. We walked with him day two. And here in day three, last week we talked about the fig tree withering up and how Jesus then taught about believing and forgiving. If you want to get your prayers answered, you got to believe. When you ask, you got to ask with a forgiving spirit. And that brings us to, we're still in the third day, but the next event of that day. So we ask this question, where did Jesus go next on the third day? Matthew tells us this, and when he was come into the temple. Mark, he puts it like this. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple. What's Luke have to say about it? Came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple. Well, so we put them all together, and we get a little fuller picture, don't we? He comes to the temple, but he doesn't just come to the temple. He walks in the temple, but he's not just walking in the temple. He's also what in the temple? He's teaching in the temple. Well, wait a minute. Now, who's supposed to be teaching in the temples? You know, that was the religious leaders. Who is this one Jesus thinking he is to be teaching in the temple? But he's come, he's walked, and he's taught all this in the temple. Now, watch what happens, though. Who came to Jesus in the temple? Matthew says, well, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said. We'll see that in a moment. Mark says, they came to him, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. So we got another little group there, don't we? Luke, chief priests, scribes, with the elders, came unto him. So on the bottom of your sheet, I just kind of give you an idea. The chief priests, they were the temple officials, all right? The scribes, they were the teachers of the law. They could be either Pharisees or they might be Sadducees. Remember, Pharisees, they believed in resurrection, and the Sadducees did not. there were some differences. Elders, they may have been laymen who were the political leaders. But all the leaders, religious and political leaders, they are coming to the Lord, and they are confronting him, or at least they're going to confront him. Let's go to our next page and see what they're going to confront him about. Now, what did the chief priests, scribes, and elders ask of Jesus? All the religious leaders, political leaders, they're coming, all right? And they said, Matthew says this, by what authority doest thou these things? And second question, who gave thee this authority? Well, let's see. If it wasn't religious authority and it wasn't the political authority, well, who's giving him this authority to do this? And they say to him, by what authority, this is Mark's account, doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? Very, very similar. And Luke also says, and he spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or, who is he that giveth thee this authority? So they're asking, hey, let's see your credentials for you to be teaching here in the temple. You know, who's giving you this authority? Now, I help you out. What is this phrase, authority to do these things? What are these things? Well, it could have been any number of things. Remember, he's already had the triumph entry into into the city. Remember that? He received praise, even from the children, all kinds of praise. And they thought that he ought to rebuke them about, you know, referring to him as the Messiah. There was the cleansing of the temple that had taken place, the healing of the blind man, the lame, teaching in the temple, all this being done in the temple. And they're wanting to know, okay, who's giving you authority? Because the religious leaders knew they hadn't given him authority. The elders, the political leaders, they hadn't given him authority. So, hey, where's this authority coming from? Well, how does Jesus answer them? Let's see how he answers them. Matthew 21 says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I'll ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." Mark says it like this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." Well, Luke's kind of got an abbreviated aspect, and he just says, he answered and said, "I'll ask you one thing, and answer me." All right. What do you think is going on here as you look at this? They've come and they're asking him, okay, by whose authority are you doing this? So he's saying, okay, I'll tell you. If you'll just answer me one question. Well, he's always going to question her authority. All right, okay. All right, perhaps, okay. And no, not when it comes to the Lord, no. Well, watch what question you ask. What does Jesus ask him about the baptism of John? He says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men? All accounts almost are similar, right? Mark says, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Luke, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now, I want us to take a look at some of these references. So you can just listen as I read to them. I'll read them to you, or you can also turn there with me. Because when we're talking about the baptism of John, we're not just talking about his physical baptism. We're talking about his whole ministry. All right? So Jesus is really asking, okay, the ministry of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or was it of men? All right? You see how this is striking at the authority? At the authority? Now, he's taking them back to John. John came. Okay, whose authority did John come and teach? Was it authority from heaven or was it of men? Which was it? What do you suppose? All right? Well, let's take a look at his ministry. John 1. John 1 is a great passage. We're going to read a few verses. Verse 19 says this, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou?" Okay, they're going to ask John who he is, right? "And he confessed and he denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And he said, I am not." You know, hey, are you Elijah? Art thou the prophet? Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, well, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Well, obviously somebody had sent to find out, hey, but whose authority is John doing this? All right. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and they said to him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Araba, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, John is, he's not saying I wasn't this prophet, and I'm not that prophet, but John was, in fact, a what? He was a prophet. Go over with me, or back with me now, to Matthew chapter 3. Now this, Matthew 3, just a little bit more on the life of John the Baptist. Matthew 3, we're going to begin with verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan. They were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring henceforth fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Who's he insinuating having no fruit and they're going to be cut down and tossed in the fire? He's insinuating what? The Pharisees. Yeah. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. So we're looking at a little of John the Baptist ministry. Now, remember what he's asking. Was his ministry of God or was it of men? And he's refused now these who've come to be baptized. He's refused to baptize them because baptism was for those who demonstrated they were what? Repentful. And would show that, but he's not going to baptize them. So he's showing his authority there. All right, let's go Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Obviously, this is going to be very early. Mark 1, verses 4 through 8 says this. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Flip over with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, he says this, verse 14. King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias. Others said that it is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It's John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when there was a convenient day, it was come that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lord's high captains and so forth. Remember, the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And the king said to them, Ask me of whatsoever thou wilt, and I'll give it to thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee up to half my kingdom. And she went forth, she asked of her mother, what shall I ask? And she says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by a charger, the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceedingly sorry for his oath's sake, and for the sakes which sat there with him, he could not reject her. Immediately king sent an executioner, commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came, they took up the corpse and laid it in a tomb. Well, I read you that long passage just to let you understand that John, yeah, we saw him rebuking the religious leaders, okay? But we also saw John the Baptist rebuking who? The political leader, Herod. Now, so Jesus asked him, okay, let me ask you a question, and you tell me this. Now, I'll give you an answer to your question about where I got my authority. John, what his ministry, and we just read a little bit about his ministry, was it from heaven? Now, if it was from heaven, they would be having to say it was of who? It was of God, right? Or was it of men? All right? Now, let's see. They begin to reason among themselves, all right, talking among themselves. So Matthew 21, 25 says this, and they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, well, why did you not then believe him? If we shall say of men, we fear the people. For all hold John as a prophet. Mark says this, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed, and Luke. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Now, I ask you a question. Do you think they were right about what they were thinking? Huh? I mean, was the reasoning pretty good? Yeah, it seemed like the reasoning was pretty good, man. If we say, yes, he was from God, man, we open up to ourselves, well, then why aren't you obeying him? If God is speaking to you, why aren't you obeying him? If God is speaking through this prophet to you, why don't you obey? Now, if they're saying, he was just a man, all right? He had no authority like we have authority. He had no authority because kings had their authority from God. Priests had their authorities from God. But, you know, if we say that he was just a man, we're in trouble because who thought that he was a prophet of God? The people. And they were afraid of the people. We're going to, this morning in our message, we'll see Pharaoh responding in a certain way, and he does so because of fear. All right? Fear can control our actions and attitudes, all right? But here we see that in fear, let's see what they do. Ready? Next page. How did the priests and scribes answer Jesus? Now they've reasoned. They've talked this thing over among themselves. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Mark. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. Luke. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. Pretty political, aren't they, huh? Sound like some of our politicians today. Trying to walk a tight rope, not to offend this or not to offend that one. We're not going to answer you. We can't tell you. Well, how do you expect Jesus is going to answer their question, all right? Matthew says, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things, Mark, Luke. And Jesus said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now notice I make this little statement underneath all that. By refusing to answer, they were in fact denying that John and Jesus were God's ordained ministers. And thus we're going to see the following parable, which we'll look at next week, the parable of the vineyard. Now, so as you look at this, as you think upon this, they're just refusing to acknowledge. Remember, Jesus says this, if you confess me before men, what's he going to do? Confess men on earth. He said, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men on earth, he says, neither will I confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. You say, well, hey, I'm going to just take a neutral position. There ain't no neutral position. You're either speaking for him or you're not. And, well, we cannot tell you. So their silence was, in fact, their answer. And their answer was, no. John's not a prophet, nor are you a prophet. And this will all tie into the parable that he's about to tell them that we'll look at next week. Now, all right, so how about this? Did we learn anything about our triune God in these verses today? Anything at all? What's it teach us about our Lord? Say that again. Jesus is wise, full of wisdom. Yes, full of wisdom. Where was Jesus very comfortable? By thinking about the first verse that we studied. Very comfortable where? Where was he? In the temple. He went there, he walked there, he talked there because it's his Father's house. Of course, there's a principle, though we can apply that to ourselves, but he was extremely comfortable in his Father's house. Now, Rick talked about his wisdom. How did he show that wisdom? What did he know? Pharisees, scribes, elders come to him, and he already knows their what? Their heart. Their motive. He knows why they've come. He knows that they have no intent of receiving him as a prophet. Just like they did not receive John as a prophet. Just like they did not, their fathers did not receive others as the prophets of God, as evidenced by the fact that they did not obey. What else do we know about Jesus? I think we see his knowledge, we saw his wisdom. All right. Anything else about the Lord in these verses? About his nature? Okay. Oh, they could answer. You just gave him a question they wouldn't answer. They wouldn't answer, right. But we see how that he's all knowing, even in that whole aspect. He knows. Well, what did we learn about mankind? Who'd we learn had rejected the Lord? What men, especially? Who came to him? The religious leaders and maybe the elders, even the political leaders. They had rejected. We see that there were men here that the leaders had rejected Jesus. And when a nation is in a down spiral, it is evidenced by those who are in authority who have rejected Jesus. Now, it's amazing how the vast majority of religions, even in today in our United States, we like to refer to ourselves as a Christian nation, but more and more it is not a Christian nation. And more men are rejecting the Lord's authority in their life. And so that's a dangerous thing. The vast majority of politicians, would you say the vast majority of politicians have received Christ and as evidenced by their desire to follow his ways, or do you think they've rejected Christ? Rejected. And so we know what's going to happen. Jesus has prophesied it. And what's going to happen to Jerusalem? What's going to happen to the nation of Israel? They're going to be taken and destroyed and so forth. So if our nation continues to go in a direction with the leaders in the direction that we're going right now, what should you and I expect? Judgment. I don't see us in the book of Revelation. Why? Because I think we're going to be insignificant. And how can the greatest nation, fall? Just like other great nations have fallen. When they have rejected the truth. So we see them resentful of the Lord, rejecting the Lord. Well, okay. So what? How might these verses change our behavior? We look at that. How might this change our behavior? Well, there's a passage in Timothy. You know who he tells us to pray for? He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Well, so we look at this, we see a situation, we see the religious and political authorities going contrary, rejecting the Lord rather than receiving him. As we look in our own nation, we see for the vast majority, those in authority rejecting our Lord. Look at our own governor. And look at our two senators. Whoa, it's me. I'm going into my closet and that's it. I'm just going to wait until the doomsday. Is that what God wants of us? No. He tells us what he wants us to do. Pray. Pray. We need to pray more fervently for those in authority, that God will be merciful to them, tear off the blinders from their eyes that they can see, unstop their ears that they can hear, and give them a heart to believe. That's what we should be doing. We read something like this, and you say, whoa, I'm just throwing up my hands. What more can I do? There's nothing I can do. Those in authority over me are reprobates. They've rejected the Lord. They've rejected his word. Nothing more for me to do. Yes, there is still something for you to do. And that's to pray. That's to pray. Can you think of anything else that these verses, how we might change our behavior? Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, and we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, what do we learn about our Lord in these verses? How might we follow our Lord? Where did he find himself very comfortable? In his Father's house. Now, I know I'm talking to the what group? The choir, right, thank you. I couldn't think of the thing, yeah, talking to the choir. But this is what we should be doing. I mean, this is, I'm going to follow my Lord. He walked, he talked in his Father's house. We ought to feel extremely comfortable in the house of God. Fellowshipping with other believers, that ought to be comfortable for us. And we look at this and say, yeah, I'm going to follow my Lord. I want to be comfortable. And of course, above all things, we look at this thing and say, I'm going to purpose to accept Jesus and his over me. What were they rejecting? They were rejecting authority. Now, we can shake our heads and say, how can they reject the Lord? How can they reject his word? And all of us at times, you know, I'll obey this. I like this portion. I like over here. I'll obey what he says here. Okay, this part right here, Jesus, I'm with you 100% of the way. And then he says, yeah, but I want you to put this off, and I want you to put this on. And there's always one area where we struggle with, and that's where we say, you know what? Lord, I want you to have complete, total authority over my life. Yeah? I want to obey you in the areas I want to obey you. You know, it's like you say to kids, hey, get in the car. We're going to go have some ice cream. All right? You say, hey, get in the car. We're going over and help the widow. That's about how they move, right? Well, that's the way we are. I mean, if it's areas where we delight in the Lord and want to do it, man, we look out, get out of my road, here I go. But now, if it's in an area I'm struggling with, boy, it's a little... more difficult for us to lift our feet up and get going. But we read something like this, and we say, man, I got to acknowledge Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is my authoritarian. And I need to obey him, not in 50% of the area, not in 75, not in 90, but, you know, 100%. 100%. Anybody? Somebody want a last comment or thought? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for this wonderful day you have given to us. We thank you for this teaching and for this illustration of how men have in times past rejected your authority over them, and how true it is that yet even now, Lord, there are men who completely, totally reject you. And Lord, we'd even examine our own lives and ask that you would just even reveal to us that area, maybe two areas, where we are just reluctant to submit to you, and that fresh and new today, we would let go of them and commit them unto your divine guidance. We just thank you again for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.